In the first reading today, we hear a very, very important point that St. Paul makes and that all of us must understand. He says, "I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church." Now, the first question we ask is, what's lacking in the suffering of Jesus? Nothing. It's not that Jesus didn't do enough, but rather it is that in his mercy, he has allowed the members of his mystical body to participate in the suffering that is his. We are all baptized into Jesus Christ. We are all therefore members of Jesus Christ. And so the sacrifice of Jesus continues. Remember that there is only one sacrifice. When we come to Mass, Jesus is not being sacrificed again. He is being sacrificed still. There is one sacrifice that has been offered for 2,000 years continuously. But sacrifice and suffering cannot be separated. In the Eucharist, there is no suffering. Our Lord is not suffering in the Eucharist at Mass. He is being sacrificed still, but there is no suffering going with it. So if you can't separate suffering and sacrifice, then the question is, where is the suffering coming from? Us, you and me. There's not a single person here who doesn't have some suffering in their life. I can guarantee you that. All you have to do is listen to yourself whine and moan, and you will know how much suffering is yours. St. Paul doesn't say, "I whine and moan because of my suffering." He says, "I rejoice in my suffering." So we have a long way to go if we're complaining and whining and moaning and doing all the other things that we tend to do. But we recognize that what is happening is our Lord is actually, in his mercy, allowing us to participate in the work of salvation. Think about that. It's not merely that we are saved by Jesus. Now we have a participation in that work. That's how much he loves us. The single greatest thing that has ever happened in human history, which is the death and resurrection of our Lord, we have a share in it. Not just a share in it of saying, "Well, yeah, he did that so that I could be saved," which he did, but it's a matter of being able to recognize that if this is what he has done for me, now I want to do this for others as well. And it's not just pointing other people to say, "Look at what happened 2,000 years ago," but it's actually participating in it. So there are many people who are here whose children maybe have fallen away from the faith or whose siblings have fallen away, and you pray for them and you offer your suffering for them. Why? Because you are making up for what's lacking in the suffering of Christ, because you have a participation in the work of salvation. That's the gift that God has given us. Now, most of us, again, don't look at suffering as a gift, but if we were to simply stop and take away the cross for a moment, take away just the whole concept, and just say, all right, if there is one thing that we can point to in the history of the world that is the single greatest thing that ever happened, would you want to be part of that? We all would. Now we put the cross back in and say that is the single greatest event that has ever happened in human history. And you have a part in it. You have the privilege, and we must understand it that way. We have the privilege to be part of the work of salvation. And so no more whining and moaning, but rather let's try to embrace what the Lord gives us when he puts the cross on our shoulders so that we can offer that for others, just as it has been done for us. Now, when we look at that point, We understand that in order to bring about the salvation of the human race, it is going to require 100%. So in other words, all of the suffering of our Lord and all of the suffering of the mystical body from the apostles all the way to our day and all the way to the end of the world, all of that combined is 100%. Now the Lord knew how much we would be willing to do. He did all the rest. Now in my estimation, that means he did about 99% and we do about that much, and boy, do we let him know that we're doing it. How pathetic we are. But if we can start to see it from the other perspective, in other words, if our Lord were to appear to you and say, would you be willing to do this or that or the other thing for the sake of these people? Would you be willing to do this for others? Most of us, I would hope, would say, absolutely. Well, instead of appearing to you, he's just giving you the opportunity. He's giving you the cross. He's giving you a participation in the cross so that you will have a greater participation in the glory. You cannot separate these things. We can't say, well, I want to go to heaven and I want to be with God and I want to look at him face to face and I want to love him for the rest of eternity, but I don't want what's going to be required to get there. It doesn't work. In order to get to heaven, we have to go up Calvary. In order to get to the resurrection, we have to go through the crucifixion. That's a requirement. So again, it's not just something we can look at and say, oh, that was nice. Jesus did that 2,000 years ago. Thankfully, we don't have anything to worry about. No, no, that's the fake gospel. Remember the one, the gospel of health and wealth? Oh, Jesus did it all. He doesn't want you to suffer at all. He doesn't want you to have to do this. What a bunch of baloney. Nowhere does it say anything even remote to that. But in our human weakness, that's a whole lot easier to listen to than, oh yeah, by the way, we have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Oh yeah, I have to rejoice in my suffering for your sake. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be finding it pure joy when I'm involved in any sort of trial. Yeah, we don't usually think that way. Jesus did, the apostles did, the saints have for 2,000 years. And you and I are to do the same because nothing has changed. It is the same cross. It is the same Lord. It is the same passion. It is for the same reason. It's a matter, however, of changing the way that we think. There is going to be suffering in every single life. That is not something that we can avoid. We do everything we can to avoid it, but we're not going to be able to, because all you have to do is look at all of the things that you've done to be able to avoid suffering in your life. God has an infinite imagination. Fine, you want to do all these things, and I'll give you some suffering over here. You think you're going to get rid of it over here? Then I'll give you some over here. It's going to happen in all of our lives. So what are we doing with it is the question. We have not only the opportunity but the privilege to be able to unite our sufferings with the suffering of Christ for the conversion of sinners and the salvation of souls, to participate in the work of redemption. That is the gift that Jesus is giving to you. It's not the kind of gift most of us want. We like whatever pretty wrapping paper and a nice bow. He gives us the cross. Pretty wrapping paper and a nice bow isn't going to get us to heaven. The cross is. And so that's what we have to be able to understand. That's how we have to be able to adjust our mind. Remember, St. Paul said, be renewed in your mind, so that It's not thinking the way of the world, but thinking in the way of Christ. The cross is the Christian way of thinking. We all wear them around our necks. We have them on our walls in our homes. We have the crucifix front and center when we come to church. That's to remind us. We're not supposed to ignore it. We're not supposed to push it away. And it's certainly not a matter of nice that Jesus did that for me, but thankfully I don't have to. No, it's to remind us that we need to be up on the cross with him, that that's the gift he's offering us, to be united with him in this work. That again is even what St. Paul pointed out. He said, "For this I labor and I struggle in accordance with the exercise of his power working in me." That's what is there for us. So, that's what we pray for the grace to be able to see it, to accept it, to embrace it, to live it, to put into practice what it is that we profess, and to be able to see that this is truly a privilege, so that with St. Paul we can actually rejoice in our suffering because, not of the suffering, but because of the good that the suffering can bring about through the work of redemption, the conversion of sinners, the salvation of souls.